assessment overall of the Pittsburgh game? It was the first time, really, it seemed like Robert was kept in the pocket. And teams really corralled him as a ball carrier. I think he had 6 attempts for 8 yards.
Yeah, he didn't. You know, I think we had 3 sneaks or 2 sneaks and a kneel down also. But, you know, we didn't get out to the outside edge that much. It happens when you go versus 3-4 defense. Had some good gives going inside. Hit DY on a couple going up the middle. But we also didn't get to run it enough. You know, we didn't get enough play calls and didn't get enough runs.
Kyle, when you look at the opening series of that game, 2nd and 1, 3rd and 1, and you guys are running the ball with Robert under center, is there a big difference in the action for some of those linebackers or even safeties when you guys are running from under center versus when he's in the shotgun and doing some more misdirection stuff?
I don't know. I think you'd have to ask them. You know, we do the misdirection out of the gun, but we also run all of our same. We run every run we have, we can do out of the gun. You know, you can't do the zone read and stuff under the center and everything, but you can do everything else under the gun, in the gun. Sometimes you get the ball to the backs a little quicker when you're under center. You can also toss it and everything. So I think it's a little give and take with both.
How do you have a game with that number of drops? Do you write it off as just sort of an aberration, or do you do anything specifically out here during the week to address it?
I mean, you address it, but I mean, usually when you have that many drops, it's more of a mental thing than actually a technique or physical thing. You want guys to be confident. Sometimes when guys start dropping the ball, they start catching it differently and, you know, not being as aggressive with it. And you just keep trying to remind them, don't be worried about the drop. You attack that ball every time, have aggressive hands and aggressive mindset and run through the ball, and don't worry about the drop. You got to play aggressive.
How much did you study Cam and what Carolina did when you were preparing to install stuff with Robert?
Well, in the offseason, we took everybody in the NFL who had run the zone read and done some stuff with mobile quarterbacks. So Carolina done a lot of it, so they were a huge part of our cut-ups.
What has Aldrick Robinson shown you guys in practice to warrant more playing time this week?
Well, Aldrick's, I mean, he's one of the faster guys in the NFL. He's getting better at his routes every day. He's getting better blocking and stuff. And, you know, with Pierre going down, you know, our two X's are him and Hankerson, and we've been rotating them in together. You know, Hankerson's probably played a little bit more throughout the games, but Aldrick's had his time also, and hopefully he'll keep getting some more opportunities.
Do you guys evaluate Hank as an X? I know he plays both, but is he more of a traditional Z receiver in this offense?
Yeah, I think if, you know, everything's ideal, you know, we'd probably put him at Z, but Hank's the guy who can do both. You know, you usually want your faster guys at X. Hank's not the fastest receiver on the team, but he still is a 4-4 guy, so he's one of the few Zs who's capable to do both.
How big is the speed drop-off with you guys with Fred and Pierre out, and along those lines, how big is Aldrick's speed as far as getting that back up to where you guys want it?
Well, Aldrick's fast, so, I mean, he's the fastest one, so he has it. But, I mean, Logan's definitely not beating Fred in a race, and it's good just to have Pierre out there, you know, because he can definitely run, but he also does a lot of other physical things for us and the underneath routes and everything. But, you know, and any time you don't have two of your top playmakers, you know, it's tough. But our other guys have stepped up. They've done it throughout the year with Pierre being out because he's been out most of the year, and I think Logan's done a good job with Fred being out.
Can you still, as a play caller, go about your business the exact same way? I mean, you guys have tried to go vertical and go up top a couple times, I think once to Hank 2 weeks ago, and Josh at one point maybe this week. Is it just status quo, or do you adjust because you don't have Pierre stretching the field?
It depends who you're playing. You know, I mean, you can't just dial up deep balls just for any reason. You know, I mean, no matter how fast you are, sometimes it's hard for fast guys to get down the field because guys know they're fast and they back up. I think all of our guys are capable of beating people down the field unless they're playing the go route. I think last week versus Pittsburgh, we had more shots down the field probably than any time this year. We just didn't come down with them, and I think that was a big reason why we didn't score enough points.
I know much of Logan's playing time has come out of necessity, but are you getting even more out of him than perhaps you would have thought?
We got a lot of confidence in Logan. I mean, Logan has been one of our favorite players since we've been here, just in terms of just being reliable. Everything we've asked him to do, he's been able to do. You know, he had a big role. He had to step in last year when we lost Fred for those last 4 or 5 games, whatever it was, and he did a decent job. You know, he's a lot better this year, too. I think it really helped him. You know, last year he was just the third guy and knew that specific role, and he had to really step it up when we lost Fred and Cooley. Had some ups and downs doing it. This year I think he understood that role and what was expected of him. He still owned his spot as the third guy, but since Fred's gotten hurt and now he stepped into that starter role, he's been much better in that spot than last year.
Elaborate on the favorite. What makes him a favorite player?
I'm not saying that just from coaching standpoint. I mean, he's quarterbacks too. I mean, he's just reliable. He's a big target. I mean, he's a Neanderthal. We joke around with him. We call him that because he's just big, and, you know, he doesn't mind hitting people. He'll run into anything. He'll play hurt. He's just always there.
Kyle, with
Carolina, they have 15 sacks from three guys on their defensive line. Do they blitz a lot, and that's how they're getting home, or is it just them beating one-on-one blocks or combo blocks?
They get a few with their pressures, but it's mainly their front four. They got four guys who can rush a passer. They all can get there. When they get into pass rush mode, they've been very good at it, especially on third down.
Mike was talking to us on Monday about how some of the four-minute stuff and the hurry-up stuff takes away the play-action passing game. Why is that, and how does that limit you exactly in terms of being able to use the play-action if you're in a hurry-up situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the play-action and, you know, the keepers and stuff, it's been what we've done best in our pass game. It's where we've gotten most of our yards. And when you get in a one-dimensional game and you lose that, it hurts. You know, it takes away a lot of your big chunk plays. You got to execute just drop-back passing up and down the field, and it's hard to move the ball when that's the case.
In that situation, just the other day where it was like 6 or 7 minutes to go and you guys are down 2 scores, can you still hurry up the play calling process and just not huddle but still call some of the same plays, or is it off the books because you guys are trying to get up to the line and do things with the personnel?
Yeah, it's a fine line. Like, you know, I think we got it. I think there was 10 minutes left and we got it when we were down 2 scores, and then it was real close to not being able to do that. So we started out, I think we had a couple keepers, a couple play pass, and when they were still stepping up for the run, I mean, that's where we got our big plays in that drive. You know, I think we got it. Moved it about 60 yards and it took about 4 minutes to do it. But, you know, we got our big chunks doing play pass and keepers there. And, you know, if we would have got it back there and we would have stopped them 3 and out, it would have been about 3 minutes. And then's the time we probably wouldn't have been able to do it. You know, then they would have been in complete pass mode. And you can do play action as long as they honor the run. But there's going to come a time when they won't honor it.
Let me just ask one quick question. I know it's just a midpoint question about Robert Griffin. He talks about motivating guys and keeping guys with their chin up. What do you see out of that, out of him?
So far, I mean, just working with him half a year, Robert's been the same every Monday. You know, whether he's been good or bad, whether we've won or lost, and he comes in upbeat. He's eager to get better. He's always trying to correct stuff. Even when he's played his best games, he comes in wanting to know what he did bad. He enjoys football. He enjoys being in the building. He enjoys the guys. He's fun to be around. And when you go through something like this, you know, it's human nature. We don't have a real good record and everything for guys to get down, but you got to have guys like that who can stay upbeat and stuff, stay positive, and know it's a long year and we've got to take them one game at a time.
Is that something unusual for a quarterback, win or lose, to come in that way? Have you seen that before?
I think you need that from your quarterback. I mean, you need it from your head coach. You need it from, you know, your leaders on defense. You need it from specific veterans, because most people are going to follow those leaders. And when you got guys in those roles and they're really down and moping around, it definitely affects the whole team. So I think it's important on every NFL team that your big players and your key positions, especially the quarterback, act that way. And for the most part, they all do.
What's your evaluation of Evan in that screen game as like a pass receiving third down receiver?
Evan's solid. You know, Evan's his best thing is as a runner. You know, we put Evan in that role because we really trust him in protections, and he does have good hands. I know he dropped a screen last week, but you know, he's been solid for us.
You guys were 3-5 last year, and you know, same record again. But do you feel so much differently just about this offense because of the playmakers you have in place now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel night and day difference. You know, our O-line stayed healthy this year, and I feel great with our running game. I feel like we are solid in our passing game. I still feel like we can improve in both areas a lot. I think we've done a lot of good things, but I definitely don't feel like we've played our best football. And knowing we're halfway through, I think we can get a lot better. And I think we got a chance to do something special. We're just going to try to put it all together each week.
Has Robert's impact been greater maybe than you anticipated, or is it about what you thought you might get out of him?
I think it's what we thought. I mean, he's definitely played very good. But the whole overall thing with Robert combined with Alfred coming in, and what Alfred's meant to the run game, some of the stuff just schematically that we've been able to do, having Robert on the team and then putting a back like Alfred with him, we weren't counting on all that necessarily. We knew Alf was – he had a chance to be good, but if we thought he was as good as he is playing, we probably wouldn't have drafted him before the sixth round.
You're looking at even just the ripple effects Robert has on everything that goes on in offense, even on some of the times he doesn't keep the football. Is it fair to say there's probably not another player in the league right now offensively who's as responsible for kind of everything that goes on around him?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly what everybody's doing right now offensively, but, I know he's the most well-rounded and talented guy I've ever had. You know, he can do a part of the game that I've never been able to do with, you know, the quarterback being a running threat and being able to be a part of the run on run plays. And you make every week, I remember my whole career, the whole defense, 11 guys are trying to tackle that running back. And now all of a sudden, 11 guys are trying to tackle him and got to account for the quarterback. It definitely changes up how I see football, how we look at it schematically, the coverages you see, the fits you see from a defensive standpoint, and it changes everything. And it's fun for me because I get to learn different parts of football now because I see different stuff. There's different plays. It's the number counts are different on everything.
How much do you ever take a look at other teams throughout the season, just sneak a peek here and there, maybe see if you can pick something up, or are you just too busy with this stuff? You just kind of have to worry about whatever team you're playing.
No, we do it all the time. You know, it's more the teams that we're playing against. You know, we play Carolina this week, so we go for their 7 or 8 games they played this year. We go back to last year. Sometimes we'll go 2 years prior if their coordinator's been there. So we see all different teams and what different schemes have done and attacked them, how they've changed it. Sometimes you'll go to just random games to get some ideas if you're struggling, but usually it's against completely different defenses and stuff, so it's usually not as relevant.